Welcome to this week's episode of The Discerning Eye, brought to you by Discerned Cannabis Purveyors, located in Grafton, Massachusetts, offering a cannabis experience built around you.
Okay, welcome everybody to another episode of The Discerning Eye here at the Summit Lounge in Worcester, Massachusetts, where they are always a wonderful host to us and provide just really good hospitality. I'm joined here with some fantastic guests with our traditional crew here from Discern. We've got Aaron Luna.
Hello.
We've got Brianna de los Santos, right?
Okay. Hello, everyone.
We've got David Pottle.
Hello, guys.
Today we have our guests from Goodfields. We have Jason Raposa here.
Yeah, I mean, we've really focused on the consumer. So that's, you're talking about consumer awareness. I mean, that's huge, right? What I always quote, which is backed up with some statistics, but not fully, is that 95% of adults in Massachusetts have never even heard of a seltzer, never mind a beverage enhancer, right? So it's like, we're in the industry. We take it for granted that we are around all these novel products every day. But like, everybody, even people who are coming to the dispensaries, unless we're there to pop up, they don't even know we exist, right? So brand awareness, consumer awareness is something that we're actively working on right now. And again, leaning on my technology background, I have certain insights of how to bring that and to raise that level of brand awareness and customer awareness that I don't think a lot of other entrepreneurs in this space do have. And so I have that alpha, that little edge that I think that, you know, for the most part, you know, I don't want to reveal too much what we're doing, of course, but for the most part, it gives us that edge to be able to be in front of more consumers than just pop-ups, for instance. Pop-ups are super time consuming, right? You have to travel an hour to the dispensary, you set up for 3 hours, and you travel an hour back. We love them, and we love dispensaries in general. We just like hanging out. That's always fun to do, especially with all these new events.
It requires a lot of time and effort, though.
But it does take a lot of time of, you know, especially since we're a small team. Our marketing director is doing, you know, a ton of pop-ups, but he's like, he needs to be working on a strategy. You know, he needs to be working on all his other stuff, but he's like going to pop-ups and stuff, you know? So it's like, we're a little bit thin right now. So we actually have another marketing position that we're hiring for right now, a field marketer, that should relieve a little bit of that pressure.
Sure.
Even our sales team is doing pop-ups. Like, we're practically, everybody in the company, sales and marketing wide, are doing pop-ups at this point, because with 47 dispensary partners, we have to service them. We're trying to service them once a month. At least get out there once a month, show a face, and be in front of the population. Because if we're not there, our in-store displays sometimes get mixed in with everybody else's, and it's like hard to speak to that. You know what I mean? And so, again, I'm working on the online kind of experience of what a consumer is going to get, and then the team is working on the in-person stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's exciting. I think with our company, much of the education component is going to be driven into everything that we do. So, you know, we get to be selective with our products, and the products that we select are not going to be sitting in the back of the vault for a long time. You know, the goal is to move product and make sure that people are aware of this, what we do have, and educate them on, you know, why we have it. Education is a key component to this, and like we were mentioning earlier, the ability for us to not have 1,000 SKUs out there is really pivotal to our ability to succeed and be selective on the products that we offer, to the point where they're going to be, you know, our staff will learn, they'll get excited about the products, they'll be excited to talk about what their benefits are, and make sure that they're moving out of our vault. One thing we want to really move away from in our company is keeping inventory that's stale in our vault. We're going to really strive to source high quality products so that we don't have those products sitting around in the shelves, because we know they're popular, we know people want them, and we know we can educate people on their benefits.
Yeah, so education is obviously one of the pillars of our company, because we knew that coming up with a new novel format, like a whole different product format that no one had ever seen before, requires education. So we partnered with Zoltrain to do bud tender education, for instance. And so bud tenders are where it's at. Like, I've got nothing but love for bud tenders, because they are on the front lines on a daily basis.
And if your
brand isn't in their head, it's going to get missed, right? And so as they're educating the consumer, whether it's in the medical side or the adult use side, those are our go-to people. And so we're always making sure that we're giving them as much love as we can, whether it's swag or, you know, other. I won't elaborate too further.
We definitely put a lot of effort on that. We call them our purveyors, because they're, you know, they're really sourcing some of the highest quality goods, and that's what we're doing as a company. And we're turning customers into discerning buyers by, you know, really educating them on what to look for. So it's education. Our staff wants to learn about Good Fuels. They want to learn about the beverage enhancers. They want to learn about the product, so that consumers come in. We've talked about this before, where customers don't always know what to look for. And the worst experience that somebody can have at any location is coming in and not knowing what they want and just feeling like they, like an idiot. You don't want to feel like that. You want to feel confident in your selection. Whether it's one of the biggest problems I have when you walk into a dispensary is you're often asked the question on whether you want an indica or a sativa or a hybrid. And that's such a horrible way to go about it. And then, if you're leading off with that, in my opinion, it's not going to get much better. So, we really put a lot of emphasis on education. Our staff is actually going through certification through Greenflower Institute to make sure that they're all certified to be able to speak about the products that we're selling, and so that consumers can feel confident in that they're getting, subjective information that they can objective information.
Either or.
Both. You get some subjective from the individual experiences, but more importantly, they're being educated on the proper way to talk about the products that we have, and products like yours. It's pivotal that they know how to properly talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different tangents we can go off on that one specifically, because it is kind of ridiculous about, whether it's lab testing, high tax stuff, or right. When a person comes in, you're right, they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They've never been into a dispensary before. They walk in for the first time, and all of a sudden they're like, indica, sativa, mm-hmm. and you're just like,
well, even yours.
Like, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Is that a lot of milligrams? And then I've had a 5 milligram edible. How does that compare to a 3 milligram?
My buddy gave me a 5 milligram one day, and it felt pretty good. Right. Like, can I just get one of those, So we don't have... So for us, it's, we're not going to be a high dose company. That's just not our style. I'm a low dose person, and this company's modeled after me. And so low dose for us is where it's at. So I'm not going to say, hey, let's, introducing like a 100 milligram beverage at some point, if the regs even allowed it, which they do in some states, of course, we would never get there. That's not our audience. That's not our target market. And so we're really interested in bringing in new consumers into dispensaries, making sure that...
That's awesome.
Yeah, because for us, we Massachusetts is almost getting to that point where it's maturing a little bit, as a market. And so what ends up happening is you get a lot of people coming in and just shopping for the highest tack, right, on flower. And then, again, you're... labs are maybe incentivized to go into different spaces and, being able to produce the highest tack, and however it gets done, all of a sudden you get 50% tack on flower, and it's like, where'd that come from? Like,
right.
Half of the weight of the thing is actually cannabinoids? Insane, right? Those are gigantic...
There's some ridiculous testing numbers that are being put out there.
The products that we're putting out, low dose or not, just the fact that we're able to bring new consumers into dispensaries is where what we're focused on. Whether I'm, like I said, doing it on a technical level behind the scenes, or we're getting people who maybe are getting to that first time when they go into the store, and we happen to have somebody there at the pop-up,
right.
Showing them and educating them, like, hey, here's how you get better prepared to walk into the store, right? And here's why you should be looking at a Good Fuels product specifically, because it's made for people who are just entering the market. We love cannabis as a plant, and the people who smoke it, I have no judgment against them. I've smoked it myself because that's the way I got the medicine when I needed it, right? So I never throw shade on anybody who smokes it or wherever they get their medicine. You do you. The way I do it right now on a daily basis every day is low dose, micro dose in most cases, because I'm just like a little bit at, while I'm making dinner, squirt a little bit at wine, naked. I'm sorry, honey, that's a lie.
We're coming to dinner at your house.
My wife makes dinner every night, because I'm so busy.
And all kinds of stuff. Like.
So I'm infusing while I'm cooking, or while I'm supporting my wife, who's actually probably cooking. And then while we're sitting down for dinner, I mean, shout out to my wife, Karen, you're amazing. You're not even going to probably listen to this, but still, I got to give her a shout out. And she has pulled all the weight that was on me to help is really on her now, because it's a startup. Like,
right.
I'm like, number one thing in my life right now is startup life, unfortunately. Yeah. And eventually I will go back and be that role model, father figure, and husband. But like right now it's like, it's just like do or die. Like I got to make this work. And so, anyways, when we're going throughout the night, I'm probably have microdosed 4 or 5 times. But by the time dinner rolls around, I'm in a good spot. I'm happy. I'm like, right. I'm fun dad. I'm like, hey, let's go. I never giggled so hard in my life when I'm reading my daughter's stories in bed. Mm-hmm. I'm just like a giggle monster. Like, it's just the most ridiculous thing. Like, monster at the end of this book, right? It's just like you're reading it and you're like, this is the most ridiculous story. And you just laugh. And then she starts laughing. And then you just have like the craziest laughing fits, mm-hmm. right? And so I cherish those moments, but I have to unwind at the end of the day. Of course. And the way I unwind is with cannabis. And I think everybody could benefit from it. Not just stoners or whatever you want to call people right. who have been doing it forever. Like, that's such a derogatory word in my head. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't even like that word.
Yeah. And
because there's so many high functioning people in this world that consume cannabis, and people don't realize that that stigma is still there in people's heads.
Oh, it's always there. It's evident at all times. And I think pointing out, like you said, that bringing in new consumers into the market is a big part of, you know, why we're in business, is because there's a lot of people that don't know that maybe they need some cannabis in their life. And, you know, I come from a banking background. So, you know, most of the people in my line of work would never admit to using it because they would, you know, for fear of being shunned or whatever, you know, repercussion at their job. So now that, you know, being in the industry, oftentimes I get, hey, you know, I want to try this or this. And it's very, it's a little bit of concerning to me that there's so much stigma that it's almost like in secrecy that people have had to, you know, ask that. And as it becomes less stigmatic, consumers are going to walk into the store, but I want them to feel comfortable walking into the store and asking questions and not feeling like they're asking the wrong questions because they've never tried any of the products. And a beverage is a real easy way to do that. A beverage enhancer is a fantastic way to do that because anybody can add it to whatever they want. They can increase the dosage next time if they, you know, they felt that they didn't get enough, or if they got too much, they can always decrease it. And like we pointed out already, some of the effects are so fast acting that you can actually just control it much better. And this is gonna be a great product to be able to bring consumers in. And here at Discern too, you know, we tout ourselves in education because we want to be able to help all of those consumers, whether it's, you know, the really connoisseurs, you know, who know their stuff, and then those who know nothing about it. You know, that's kind of where I think we're gonna be, you know, be really successful in, is because we'll be able to speak the language, but really be able to back up the opportunity to help people, you know, who don't know anything about it.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, when we started this company, craft cannabis is always going to have a place. And in fact, so we were at a lounge in New York City with a few names I won't name, but we were in a lounge in the Lower East Side, and I smoked again. But it's like, it's like once in a while is not going to kill me. But at the same time, if that's the way you get your medicine, then that's the way you get it.
Right.
And so when we're talking about, like, there's a place in the market for everybody.
Right.
Right. It doesn't matter if you're that craft connoisseur who's always looking for that perfect, perfect flower, or if you're just entering the market for the first time and just need that, like, I've heard so much about cannabis. Like, how do I do it or something like that? And we are in the business of welcoming all,
right,
and getting people the least amount of friction into the market as possible. And the way you do that is a drink, right?
Yeah.
One of the best quotes I had heard is, when you go to somebody's house, the first thing they ask you when you walk through the door is,
can I get you something to drink?
What do you want to drink?
Yeah.
So that's where we fit in. It's just that frictionless experience versus being like, you
it's
know,
a great
like,
way to approach it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for us, it's not like, you know, gummies aren't social. You can't just like break up a gummy and five people. You've done it maybe in college, being like, oh, I gotta like,
yeah, that's
I can make this last.
Do on your own. Yeah. You're not gonna be like, hey, no, it's a good homie.
Exactly.
You
know? So it's like, it's just a different mindset. And I want
the
everybody.
Sessionable component to it really stands out from the traditional cannabis, I guess.
Yeah, you're making cannabis social again, right? So people are like not sharing joints anymore and stuff like that. We're making cannabis social by just hanging out and drinking, you know what I mean?
That's why we have some of these nice vapes that we're going to offer that,
yeah.
you know, they make it a little bit more social to be able to, you know, sit there and you're not blowing smoke in everybody's face, because not everybody likes that. And smoke is one of the biggest, I think, stigmas associated with cannabis, because everybody knows that smell associated with the combustion or the burning of, you know, of cannabis. It's very...
It's distinct.
Yeah,
we'll say it.
It's very distinct.
It's distinct.
It punches you in the face. And, yeah. you know, in a society now that traditionally has moved away from smoking. It's one of those areas that we want to educate people on some other ways to consume it. And beverages, vaporization of dry flour, concentrates, there's other ways to consume it that kind of move away from that very heavy stigma of smoking.
Well, think about the growth of the market itself, right? So like you're talking, flour is still number one in Massachusetts by far, right? Edibles, last time I looked at a number, for instance, in January, I think it was $15 million in edibles sales in January alone. And then beverages were like a million or something like that, right?
Beverages are climbing though.
But yes, they're climbing. But what I'm saying is that like flour was at like, I can't remember the exact number, but it was like 70 million or something like that, just in January alone. So, but think about when you're bringing into the mass market and all of a sudden you've been, smoking is stigmatized. All this, you're not going to make smoking cool again for all these people who are coming to the market. Right. And so you have to have these novel products that are coming out that that's make it that frictionless experience. And so for us to come into the market now, we're still, people say, hey, we might be in like the third or fourth inning of this game. We're in the first inning as far as these products are going. We just launched 5 months ago and the market really only took off a year ago.
The beverage market, as I see it, has really exploded from this East Coast. I don't know if it's that out west they never really incorporated much of the nano emulsification technology because they just traditionally infused it with, you know, an oil like they, like most before. And it seems to me like companies out here on the East Coast are just exploding with
Drinkers. Yeah. We're drinkers out here, right? And so on the East Coast, we're very much drinkers. On the West Coast, they're drinkers. Maybe they like their wine. Well, no, Napa Valley is a beautiful space.
Yep.
But when it comes to California, they're doing fantastic with beverages right now because they actually figured out the distribution model, which is, doesn't exist in Massachusetts.
California
is where it's at when it comes to beverages. It is getting crowded, but at the same time, they've solved a lot of the problems that we're faced with in Massachusetts right now. So California didn't start with nano, right? But they now have nano and micro also. So it's like can, for instance, is SourceTec. SourceTec is a micron level technology, not a nano technology, which is why when you pour it out, it's more cloudy.
No kidding.
So I've dissected basically every single brand out there
Incredible.
At this point. But so when you're talking about California brands, a lot of them are coming like Calexo. Like I Ken and I have even spoken on the phone. He runs Calexo. They're in cans out in California right now, and they're using a company called Sulo Distribution, who takes the distribution for them automatically, and they have like 155 stores in California already that they have partnerships with. So it's like, for us to go to California, it's like super easy right now.
Yeah.
But with that said, we planted our flag in Massachusetts because I was born and raised here. It's like, I'm not going to go anywhere anymore.
Right,
you know, I had
my
stint in New York City, but now I'm back and really trying to, you know, make this company a gigantic success, which inevitably it will become, but, or to become number one in the Massachusetts market for these types of products. That's like our ultimate goal. So hopefully by the end of 2023, we'll be there. We'll see. We've got a lot of work ahead of us because we're a year behind, you know, the bigger players. But for us, it's like Massachusetts needs distribution. Like, it's so frustrating to hear sometimes when a transport company will say, oh, like water is heavy. I'm like, I know water is heavy, but we're not the only company that has water,
right?
All the other individual beverages in the market, this is not a fad that's just going to go away tomorrow. You have to figure out how to transport these things, right? But in California, they've got dedicated beverage distributors.
Right.
They're taking the alcohol model, the three-tier system, and they're applying it to cannabis beverages. So it has to be treated somewhat separately.
Right.
The beverage enhancer are excluded from that, but the RTD, the ready-to-drink stuff, you have to have that supply chain locked in, or the logistics side of it anyways, when it comes
and
to
they're
distribution.
They're going to be a real easy product that any consumer can just pick up for the first time and recognize a bottle and say, well, that looks like a beverage.
Yeah.
Crack it open. How do I drink these? You know, what? And thankfully, like I said, we'll have that that staff ready to, you know, kind of go in and answer some of these questions. So, I mean, you guys are obviously giving a lot of thought on the technology side and are always looking into input on these things. So it's kind of exciting to see where your company is going to go from here. But you're going to be on the lookout for some new flavors. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we're launching our fall seasonal in September.
Fantastic. So those are going to start dropping, you said, towards the middle of September to the end of September?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, look out for them in mid to late September.
Well, you know, as we get closer to wrapping up here, what is one thing that you want consumers to take away about your brand?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Limit heavy,
that to one
heavy
thing.
Question.
Yeah.
One thing? One that thing. Consumers...
Make it a couple of things, but you know.
Well, no, the number one thing is that cannabis is for everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love that.
I love it. I think it's important to, you know, that.
Yeah. That's great.
More and more people, I think, are proving that to be the case.
Yes. The original company name that I had was Everyday Cannabis. Because
like
you can consume it every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Massachusetts was like, you can't use the word cannabis in your business name. I'm like, ah, forget it.
Yeah, we finished it. Landon Fields was a good one.
Oh, no. My marketing person's like, you got gold when you got that name. I was like, my mother-in-law said it. I was like, I just kind of was like, eh, domain name's free. Let's go.
Perfect story.
As a technologist, I'm like, good enough, go. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. Like, we'll figure it out as we go. You know, building the plane as you fly it, as you might say. At the end of the day, my marketing person is like always keeping me in line because it's just like, no, this is a brand. Like you have to treat it like a proper brand, which means you can't do X, Y, and Z, but we could do this.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh yeah, let's do that then, you know?
Yeah. It's always about, it's good to hear that you're getting some of that input because it's, technology, if you don't know how to use it properly, obviously, you know, it doesn't give you any of the benefit of its intended purpose.
And it has to be on brand. Yeah. A lot of the stuff we release, a lot of the ideas we've had, a lot of the R&D we've done, we've been all over the place, scattershot, because I'm like that squirrel entrepreneur who's just like, oh, something shiny over there. Let me go over there real quick. And then that's what I was going to say. The thing that we're working on in the office this week is super weird, but we'll see what happens. I don't know, right? But at the end of the day, we're looking at making sure that everybody can use cannabis.
Yeah.
And that's the main point.
Yep. I think one of the things I can appreciate the most about our conversation here with you is learning that you're living it on a daily basis. People can follow you on Instagram and actually see, you know, you actually live it on a daily basis using the product that you're, you know, that you've come up with, which I think is so cool. I've never come up with a product that people are using, so I don't know what that's like.
You've got
like.
It in you, man. You have it.
But we have a brand that I think people can really relate to, and you know, you're part of that story now where you are living the brand that you've created. You're breathing it. You're giving people education on how to consume the product. Listening to you talk about how you sourced it, how you're, you know, looking into other mature markets for some of the input and some of the insight that's necessary to succeed is really exciting because we've done a lot of the same. Aaron and I attended MJ BizCon and got some really great ideas from dispensaries when we were out west. I visited, you know, a number of dispensaries out west before coming up with this this model, and it's exciting to hear other people are doing the same thing, and you're actually living and breathing it on a daily basis. So, you know, I applaud you for that. Before we sign off, one last thing I forgot to mention is you guys were just recently awarded one of the
best summertime drink 2022.
Yes. That's right, David. Yeah,
Weed Maps.
Ooh, yeah, Weed Maps picked us up, and
incredible.
They.
I don't know how we missed that one.
Yeah, so best summer beverages of 2022. We're the hero spot. We're at the very, very top. Also, Kenigma also picked us up as the best summer beverage also.
Wow.
So we got a few awards.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
As we close up here, I want to make sure that we, that people know where to go look for you. So I know you have goodfeels.com. What's the website?
It's getgoodfeels.com. Goodfeels.com. The guy's not getting back to me. I don't know what's going on with that.
Don't.
Yeah, but as I get bigger, I'm sure he's going to start returning my calls. He'll be like, actually, it's this month.
Yeah.
But it's Get Good Feels, in get it at local dispensaries.
Gotcha.
Get
so good feels. So that. If anybody wants to find right now, immediately where to find this as we get closer to opening, you know, definitely come check us out at the store. We'll have them there. But getgoodfeels.com. You can also follow Jason directly on his Instagram if you want to follow some of the recipes and some of the ways that he's – some ideas that he's proving. Is it
– Jason Reposa, Reposa.
Beautiful.
Instagram. Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody for taking the time for joining us on another episode here of The Discerning Eye here at the Summit Lounge. As I mentioned, we had our guests here from Good Feels, Jason Reposa, and then we have our Discern team at the Summit Lounge who's been fantastic in hosting us once again here today. And I want to welcome everybody to join in on the next episode of The Discerning Eye. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Discerning Eye, brought to you by Discerned Cannabis Purveyors, located in Grafton, Massachusetts, offering a cannabis experience built around you.